The American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard, on corners in town. Like a cancer that's silently spreading, there's an unspoken fear we're on our way down. We must take America back, Main Street to Wall Street, cities and states.
Second hour of the National Intel Report. Oh, I forgot to mention, it's April 15th. Why does April 15th sound like it has some sort of significance? I can't think why. Oh, well. By the way, Robert Zoellick, World Bank president, said food prices are at a tipping point. Well, thank you, Bob. Hey, Bob, why don't you bounce up and bite my butt? We knew that. Having risen 36% in the last year, and this is across the board. This is where he's putting inflation figures. 36% across the board, close to the 2008 peak. The rising cost of food has been much more dramatic in low-income countries, pushing 44 million people into poverty since June of last year.
Right, and a lot of people aren't getting enough to eat in this country, and nobody ever talks about that.
Oh, no.
You know, we have people over in the Middle East building big, huge embassies and buildings, and we have people starving in this country. And Ayn Rand's real name was Rosenbaum. She came over here in 1926 with a bunch of other communists, went to work in Hollywood as a screenwriter.
And do you know who sponsored her to write that book, Atlas
Shrugged?
Yeah.
Yes, Rothschild.
Exactly.
She was sleeping with him.
Yeah.
Along with a whole lot of other people.
But it was, what do they call themselves, objectivist?
Yes.
Yeah, I got an email here that, there's going to be a load of objectivists down at the movie theater. It's only playing in 300 theaters across the country. And only one in the Austin area, Central Texas. You want to see it someplace else, you got to drive to Dallas to go see it.
I wouldn't drive across the street to see it.
Oh, I
wouldn't walk across the street to see it.
I read the 1,100-page book twice. I've got to see what they're going to do with it on the film. Just out of purely, I'm just inquisitive. I want to see what they're doing. But the John Galt, that's actually in the book. That's Philippe Rothschild. Ayn Rand is actually Dagny Taggart. Taggart, rather. John Watt is David Rockefeller. Hank Reardon with the blue medal there, that was U.S. Steel, Bethlehem Steel, so on and so forth. So and it was, everybody thought this was a good thing, but Ayn Rand, she claimed that she wasn't a communist. But,
well, she sure was.
But what was the, here's the hallmark to, this might be an indication that you may be a communist if you don't believe in God.
Yes.
And
that's one of the criteria.
Yeah. And it's reason. Now, I like to leave things to natural law. And I'm not a big filler in the blank when you don't know something and we'll just make up a story that sounds convincing. Everything that we see and we do is a construct of our imaginations. Now, I'm not talking about blades of grass or trees or clouds in the sky. Those aren't our inventions. Everything else that we deal with is. And people have these constructs, and they begin to believe their own illusions.
Exactly.
So,
or they believe false concepts that have been created, you know, decades before, and because you've heard it for so many times, then, oh, well, it must be true, when in fact it isn't. And, you know, the television set is a vehicle for our brainwashing.
But here's something you may not have known about Mr. Rothschild back in the early 70s on the Council on 13. We'll tell you more about that when we get back, and your calls as well. Lark, I know you're there. 800-313-9443. It's an open phone Friday.
Don't answer it. If fear strikes your heart when the phone rings, knowing it may be another bill collector, it's time for you to call Zero Debt in 90 Days. 800-477-9256. Settlements, bankruptcy, and attorneys are not the answer and may end up costing you up to 10 times more than necessary. Listen, if you're already in debt, does it make sense to get buried in another payment plan? Zero Debt in 90 Days gets you out of debt in 90 days guaranteed without a payment plan and without attorneys or going to court. Get the fastest relief from debt on the planet when you call 800-477-9256. If you have debt with the IRS, credit cards, student loans, or a foreclosure, we can help at Zero Debt in 90 Days, and we are the only organization to provide written guarantees on the results. Go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Or call now for free information, 800-477-9256. That's 800-477-9256.
Attention RBN listeners. The Freeze-Dry Guy, providing the finest in long-term storage food since 1970. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. In actual scientific tests, these foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. These foods are delicious tasting, hearty, light to carry, and easy to prepare under the most adverse conditions. Unfortunately, many people building a family food storage program, as well as many companies providing emergency feeding programs, simply do not give you enough protein, especially animal protein. No other food satisfies like animal protein during stressful times. If you're a meat eater, you will definitely want our freeze-dried meats and entrees, but we do offer vegetarian items as well. Visit freezedryguide.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Help, I've fallen and I can't get up. If you have an elderly loved one, please listen. Whether it's fire danger, a serious fall, or other type of home emergency, Life Alert is there for you. The company with the slogan, Help, I've Fallen and I Can't Get Up, protects 60,000 members.
The first time I fell in that bedroom and I couldn't reach the phone.
When you have a heart attack like I did and there's no one there, Life Alert was there for me.
Having a secure feeling through Life Alert is ideal.
My independence is possible because of it.
Listen to former U.S. Surgeon General Dr. C. Everett Koop.
Thanks to Life Alert, you can live alone without ever being alone. That's why I wear one.
With Life Alert protection, elderly people can often postpone going to a nursing home for several years. For a free brochure about Life Alert service, call now 1-800-410-0739. 1-800-410-0739. Call Life Alert now for your free brochure, 1-800-410-0739.
Get ready for Real Talk Radio. You're listening to the National Intel Report with your host, John Stadtmiller.
We are back. Lark in Texas.
Well, what an unbelievable treat. The dude and Lady Deanna at the same time.
Good dude. Now,
And she's further to be known as just the Spig from here on out, okay?
I like that one, too. Yeah. You know, John, you know, the reason I listen to RBN is so I can pleasure myself with juicy tidbits like reach down here and bite my butt.
Yeah, what was that all about?
His adjectives here. I'm going, where is this guy going? I'm getting these little visuals going on here. Okay, get us out of this one, Lark.
You know, I remember in my education on the Bible, most of it self-education, something in there about accept ye be as little children.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm reminded of a story from the storyteller's tradition, The Emperor's New Clothes. And we remember that story of the emperor who was proudly going to display to his lessers this magnificent garment that the emperor's weavers had woven for him.
Do tell, because I've never heard the story.
And then there was one small boy who said, but the emperor's not wearing any clothes. And so my question is, would we say that that was one rude dude?
Insensitive in today's politically correct world. I think we could call him, I don't know, insensitive?
Well, I think that when we call him a rude dude, at least in the story, we know that certainly that's the way most of the people looked upon him, with aghast and mostly silence and embarrassment. I think, though, that when we use that kind of an appellation, we're saying so much more than one rude dude. I think it forces us to think, and it forces us to think about how much groupthink and political correctness has infested our minds to the point that we no longer are sovereign or even self-thinking individuals.
Lark, do you remember me saying it wasn't that I decried the fact so much that somebody like Barack Obama was elected because people make mistakes, but the fact that so many people wanted this guy in office, that told me the temperature of our society. And it's like at 107 degrees and it's an ICU and it's cooked. If anything's to be done, and this is no kidding, if this generation does not do it, if we do not pull this thing out and start getting it back on the right track, we're cooked. We're done.
Well, I would certainly agree with that. Now, by the way, Deanna, I want you to know that I've decided that you are Lady Deanna, at least in my mind.
Oh, thank you.
Just invite me to the royal wedding. Jeez. Obama ain't going to be there. Because the Queen says, well, these people are ignorant. I'm not inviting them.
Oh,
they got
word.
No class. That's
they
what she
don't.
Said. That's what she said. They got no class.
Well, someone sent me a bunch of photos of Michelle Obama.
Oh, I've seen them too. Oh my God. Was that? She looked like a street corner hooker.
There must not be any mirrors at the White House. Obviously.
Well, no. She only sees her. Herself through no, she only sees herself through Barry's eyes, you know. So what do you
I
want?
I guess, but I don't know. I think I've heard some things about him that well, never mind.
Well, you're from Chicago. Hey, you got Rahm Emanuel now to deal with.
Yes.
Boy, you're sitting pretty there in Chi-Town.
Sure.
Oh boy. Any rate, anything else for us, Lark?
Just quickly, when I was growing up and I was taught manners and rules of decorum and so forth, and the rest of my nuclear family as well, we were taught that being a lady was to have a regal bearing, and a bearing which was morally upright, and one who displays empathy for their fellow beings. And so that's why I use the word lady.
Well, a lot of people don't even understand. People think that you don class like you don a new suit or a new dress. If you wear it well, that's who you are. And I corrected someplace, somebody one time that said to me, boy, that guy's a class act. And I just looked at him and I said, do you hear the words you're saying? I said, class is not an act. It isn't something that people that have class, they're special. You can point them out in a crowd. They walk with a certain amount of dignity. It's their body language. It's the way even their eyes move, the way they move their head. This is not something that's contrived. This is not something you don or something you learn. This is something from the inside out.
Right. It's something we are.
Yeah.
If we want to take a look at the types of women in our world who do not have class, I might recommend an article in Rolling Stone called the Real Housewives of Wall Street. Why is the Federal Reserve forking over $220 million in bailout money to the wives of two Morgan Stanley bigwigs?
Wow.
And I'll leave it at that. Okay. Read that article, and now you know what kind of a woman does not have class.
Man, thanks for your call, Lark.
I'll
tell you what really grabs me, and I know that this is a cultural thing and things come and they go, just like bell bottoms. But bell bottoms are pants. You can take them off, you can cut them off, turn them into shorts. I see these women with these tattoos, and it drives me absolutely insane. I mean, who are they doing this for? For other classless people? Yeah, that's exactly what I want on my wedding night, is be looking at a squirming a mosaic of somebody's inkjet pen or something.
Sure.
I look at this and I go, do you actually think that that's attractive? But this shows you how far this culture has gone, that they would actually take pride in wearing garish, god-awful, unremovable tattoos.
And I've seen people, or pictures of people, who are completely tattooed.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to remember that this, our bodies are our gifts. And what would you call it?
Somebody took that gift back to exchange, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. They didn't want it.
But they are. They're gifts. We should not put writing and pictures. That is just not something that I would do.
You know, when I was growing up, I would talk to a lot of service guys, and they'd have the tattoos on. And they would admit, I did it with the boys. We were out drinking. Yeah, I got it when I got drunk. What's people's excuses today?
Right.
You know, they are looking at the world through different eyes.
Or piercings. Piercings.
Yep.
You know, when you go into a store and you see a young girl with a ring in her tongue, I mean, that's, or in her nose or her eyelid. Unbelievable.
Oh, that really turns me on. That's really attractive.
Oh, it's unbelievable to desecrate your body in such a way.
They look at it as indoor. What they're doing is they're improving on their appearance. Now, this is their mindset, that by doing this to your body with the spikes through your nose, you know, like some aborigine, I don't know what.
Right.
You know, this is enhancing your beauty. And I'm thinking to myself, whoa, how far have things gone? Let me get back on track here. Dave in New York. Hello, Dave.
We having a lot of camaraderie there, and we can all have camaraderie. Getting back to
I ain't got enough camaraderie. You got some you can send me?
I've got some. I actually have something that I put on my blog concerning what you were just talking about, coming from a different perspective. But I want to get back to Ayn Rand, because she typifies this class of people, group of people, that we are basically our enemies of the human race, and they don't like us. They're misanthropic, which is what Florence King described Ayn Rand as, a misanthrope. And people have a hard time understanding that the people that are these psychopaths that Deanna was describing, they should be identified and should be dealt with from an early age, if possible, because it's when that starts to develop. But of course, it aggregates in families, and since they've made family an issue, their families an issue, it should be taken into consideration when dealing with these people.
You know,
these people are against us.
You know, is anybody surprised, because the cultural revolution that took place back in the 60s, where, you know, they were trying to drum into our head that free love and free this and free dope and free everything and property's a crime and let's just all get together and make love. Now, we took the love generation of the 60s, and there was, what, how many more generations in between that? And now look at the current upcoming generation. Is there any wonder we ended up with what we ended up with, along with the non-teaching in the schools and the liberalized parents of the 60s? It's a wonder we didn't get out in flames 20 years ago. I don't know why we're still hanging on. It's a miracle. We'll take the break. We'll be right back.
estrogen dominance, a brand new 20th century disease, a phrase coined by Dr. John R. Lee 35 years ago. Dr. Lee proved that all the estrogen that is coming from food and water is having a devastating effect on our health. The rapid rise in breast cancer, uterine cancer, prostate cancer, weight gain, osteoporosis, feminizing of our boys and early puberty of our girls, and also the destruction of natural killer cell function. Natural killer cells are our only protection from cancer and viral infection. Dr. Lee found that using natural progesterone, about 20 milligrams per day, would not only reverse osteoporosis, but would greatly reduce the cancer issues, as well as dozens of other health challenges we face today. Visit our website, healthlinkamerica.com, to order the DVD on hormone imbalance. Learn how hormone imbalance destroys the immune system and get started on natural progesterone and Cyto-S. It will not only change your life, it may in fact save your life. Once again, that website is healthlinkamerica.com.
Are skyrocketing prescription costs draining your budget? If you don't have insurance or are taking medication not covered by insurance, the Powerhouse Savings Card can lower your prescription costs by up to 50%. Now you and your family can save 20 to 50% on all prescriptions. It's accepted by most pharmacies and mail-order pharmacies nationwide. No prescription card is easier to use. Just show your card and save 20 to 50% right on the spot. There are no monthly fees, just a one-time processing fee of only $4.95 for you and your immediate family. Stop paying full price for prescriptions. Stop going without the medication you need because it costs too much. Now your family can get the prescriptions they need at a cost you can afford. Call 1-800-963-0232 now and start saving money with the Powerhouse Savings Card. Call 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232. 1-800-963-0232.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
All right, we're back. Dave in New York, anything else, sir? He's gone? Okay. Oh, I've been waiting for 20 minutes to do this. Kill the music. Kill the music. Well, I know that. Kill the music. What? Yeah. What other word sounds like the word music?
Those young men are so nice.
Not if you have to spend all day with them.
No, the board operators are just wonderful young men.
Well, yes. I pick on them because they always screw with me. They wait to my show to do everything wrong. And then they sit here and they just watch how I react. It's like a little game with them. At any rate. But they're all volunteers. They don't get paid either. No, I'm just teasing. I've been waiting for 20 minutes to do this in Detroit.
Terrible thing that happened in Detroit?
No. Back in the 70s. There was a guy on WRIF, 101 FM out of Detroit, Arthur Penhallow. And he started this thing, and it hung on for years. And this was when Detroit was still rocking and rolling and people had jobs. And the city didn't look like a burned-out Fukushima. There was a guy on the air. His name was Arthur Penhallow, and he started this thing. He would always do, "Detroit, baby!" So I got Anthony here from Detroit, and Anthony says he remembers that. So I know he's pretty much in my age group. How you doing, Anthony?
How you doing, John? Actually, I'm 40 years old. So, yeah, I came to WRAF much later. But let's get to our point about Ayn Rand. Okay, you said that Ayn Rand is a communist because she's an atheist.
Well, no, I didn't say that. No, you made that correlation. I said that one of the ways that you can, one of the little signs is that they have communistic ideas, but they generally don't believe in God, but the true communists will speak out against God. Yeah, so at any rate.
Well, I'm an atheist. I'm a libertarian. I listen to your station. I mean, I listen to your network. Listen to even all these people in your station who are religious and all of that. I hear what they have to say. I don't completely ignore them.
Right.
I see myself as being a real atheist. I don't go around telling other people what they want to believe.
Right.
You know, I imagine it as like, imagine somebody walking out on a thin piece of ice. You already know from the weather forecast that the ice is thin, it might break. I'm not going to tell that person, don't step out on that ice. You go ahead. I assume you have free will. You want to step out on that ice and it cracks? I feel no reason to go out there and save you. I feel no reason to stop you from doing that also. I assume you know the same thing I know.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I also heard you once before say that that you work in Ypsilanti. Actually, I live in Ypsilanti right now.
Yeah. I used to work at the hydromatic transmission plant.
Is that in Depot Town or anywhere near that?
It was right off of Hoof. Boy, it's been
Michigan
so
Avenue?
Yeah, Michigan Avenue. Yeah, 94. It was right off 94 there.
Hmm.
Willow Run Airport.
Oh,
yeah.
Well, I'm not that familiar with that area. That area is more like Canton, Roseville. Now, I mean, Canton, something else. It's not actually considered Ypsilanti anymore.
Well, I wouldn't doubt that. But at any rate, you know, let me ask you a question.
Sure.
Anthony, do you believe, let me do this quickly. Do you believe that it's wrong to murder?
Yes, of course
okay.
It is.
Do you think it's wrong to lie about other people, bear false witness?
Yes, you should be honest with people and tell the truth, yes.
Okay, well, I'm not going to bore you by running through the Ten Commandments here.
Right.
But it's, you have adopted the philosophy is what you've done. Now, you don't accept that God's the creator of the universe and all that stuff, and that's fine. But most of the people, when I talk about this, and I don't mean to deride people, because one of the last things, you want to walk into a situation that is never-ending. You start talking about religion, and that you've got a conversation that you just wind that one up, that'll last for 100 years. You know, it was once said that there's two things you never talk about in a bar when you get people soused, politics and religion, because it's endless. It never does end. But
well, I think part of the reason there is because a lot of people claim to believe in things that they really don't. You know, people get upset about religion and things like that because they really don't believe what they claim.
Yeah.
Either they don't believe it or they don't live it. There's a difference.
Yeah, there is a difference.
Yeah,
and Anthony, I'm going to assume that you're an honest guy. You don't run around stealing from people. And I have
no criminal record, nothing.
Okay, so you're 40 years old. You've made it halfway through this life. You haven't murdered anybody. You consider yourself being a good person. You have abided by the tenets of those commandments. And I had an atheist one time, and I kid you not, called me up, talked to me for over an hour, and I had no doubt at the end of that conversation that man truly was an atheist. There was absolutely no doubt, but this is what he said. He says, as far as a society or a culture to base it, itself on, I see no reason whatsoever to walk away from the Ten Commandments. It's a good way for society and people to structure themselves. And that's the philosophy side of that. And this is what I've been trying to get across to people. Don't go burning somebody's house down because they're a Christian. They're not going to show up at your front door and beat you severely amongst the head and shoulders here with a Bible. I ain't going to do it.
All right. Sounds good.
All right.
All right.
All right. Well, Anthony,
I'll see you another time.
I appreciate your call. Thank you.
Sure. Not a problem.
All right. We'll be back. 800-313-9443.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Do you need help getting your child to behave? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman, and I'm willing to give away thousands of my best-selling total transformation programs for free. All you do is tell us how the program works for you and your family. Did it turn around your child's behavior? Did the screaming and arguing stop in your home? Is he doing better in school? The total transformation has helped hundreds of thousands of families. I want to see what it can do for you, and I'm willing to let you have it for free. Just order my program, use it with your child, then send me your feedback. I'll refund the purchase price of the program. You keep the Total Transformation Program forever, for free. You don't have to struggle with your child's bad behavior one more day, because now you can try my Total Transformation, and the program will be free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
The Berkeelite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeelite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeelite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeelite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Do you know the truth about cancer treatments? Do you realize that with all presently accepted methods, you are not correctly attacking the cancer and you are mostly fighting to survive the treatment? Do you realize that mutilating surgery, burning and poisoning of your entire system are totally unnecessary? But now it's cancer's turn to die with LaserMed Incorporated's patented methodology. Without cutting, bleeding, drugs, or damaging radiation, we can destroy skin cancer and breast tumors of any size without adverse side effects at our physician's office. Laser technology at its best. For more information, visit www.lasermedinc.com on the web. That's www.lasermedinc.com.
Call now, 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528. 501-255-0528.
You're tuned in to the National Intel Report, the real talk radio show.
Monday through Friday on Republic Broadcasting Network. Boy, this started
have
out.
Have you been drinking again?
No. As a matter of fact, I have admonished some people here at the network. Sometimes they'll be out at a picnic or something and come in to go to work, and maybe they've had a beer or two. I have never sat down behind a microphone, even having after consumed one beer. In 20 years, I've not done it. Yeah. Maybe I should start. I don't know.
Well, I don't drink, so I, you know.
Well, if you live in Chicago in Obama land, and now you have Rahm Emanuel, you might want to start. I don't know.
Nope. I will never do that.
All right. We've got, why do I have all this verbiage on my screen? It's going to take me 10 minutes to read this. Michael.
Oh, see, I hear them laughing.
Oh, listener, comment. Tattoos are a permanent sign of temporary insanity.
Yes.
Let's go to Jeff in Colorado, first-time caller. Hello, Jeff.
How you doing?
Good.
Hey, I was just going to, every once in a while, you guys get people in sniveling about, what are we going to do? What are we going to do, you know, about the situation in the world? Walk up to a complete stranger, most effective at the checkout line at the grocery store when they're wondering how to pay for it, and go, why does the greatest nation on the face of the planet have to borrow money to operate?
Good question. What kind of answers do you get?
You don't even wait for an answer. You just think about it. You know? You make them think about it. They, you know, 99% of the time you're going to have no effect, but 1% of the time they're going to go, what's he talking about? And they're going to look into it. And then I was just going to... Hello?
Yeah.
Yes, that's a very good thought-provoking question.
Yeah, well, you know, it opened up a few people's eyes around me. They're too busy dealing with the world to even think about it, but maybe before they go to bed, they go, well, what was he talking about?
Sure.
The next thing I wanted to comment on is a little while back you guys was kind of snickering at Jesse Ventura about that show he done.
Mm-hmm.
I think that Jesse Ventura done a great service for people that don't know who you are.
Well, how do you mean that?
I think that he was on TV for one. People love to watch TV, and maybe they tuned into his show. And he was basically a conspiracy theorist show for beginners.
Well, I would have probably considered that with a series that came out in, what, 1992? It was called The X-Files. It was a hell of a lot more entertaining. What hurt me about this is you have an opportunity. Obviously, you have the money for production. You have the money for payroll and all that other stuff. And then you want to do this and do it in such a way that it just lends credence to the title of the show, Conspiracy Theory. And more importantly, this is what the mainstream media, they started to do this about 15 years ago and then dropped it. But it's come back around like any good thing the mainstream media ever does, demonizing people. Oh, it's just a conspiracy theory. They have people programmed now. That's all you've got to say. Oh, that's a conspiracy theory. They automatically think, oh, they're nuts.
Yeah, we don't listen to them.
Well, more and more people are not listening to them. Susan Lucci on ABC. What was the name of her soap opera that she was on for like 30 years? All My Children.
I have no idea.
ABC canceled it. And they're going to put on...
Can't help you there. I don't keep my eye on soap opera.
No, the point is, Jeff, that they're losing money right and left. And they've got lower budgets. They don't have as much money. They're losing their ad revenue. People are walking away from the mainstream media in droves. What they've done is they've gone to the Internet. They've discovered networks such as this. We're full-service network, satellite and stick broadcasting and all that stuff. But we stream over the Internet as well. They made a mistake. They screwed up. The Internet has just changed the world. And they were off on their timing.
Oh, without a doubt, it changed my world.
Yes, sir. They screwed up. They let the Internet go. This was supposed to be slam dunk and already done. The global order of things, North American Union, all of these things were supposed to be further ahead than what they are now. Now people, inquiring minds, want to know. So when they're tuning out the mainstream media, they're going on the Internet. Punch in anything on a search engine on any subject, and you've got more information than you know what to do with. And people are what people. No, it's true. People are starting to learn how to read again. Do you know that it takes time to read? It's a slower process, but you have a greater understanding. You don't have visual screen wipes and flashes and this, that, and the other. It's why I love radio so much. When you're listening to radio, you have to concentrate. It is nothing. It's just an auditory input into your brain without the visual distraction. I call it television without the pictures. And it works. Jeff, keep listening, my friend. Appreciate you calling. I've got Frank in Indiana. Hello, Frank.
Hello, John, and hello, Deanna. Hi. Deanna, I have to tell you, ever since I, and John, I owe you big time because it was you who gave me an access number back in November, and it's basically changed my life.
Well,
but I discovered Deanna because of it, because now I when I take my lunch, I used to go out with my partner, and now I pack a lunch and sit in my car for an hour, sometimes an hour and a half, and listen to Deanna.
Oh, thank you.
Well, at least I was smart enough to put her on the air, huh?
She has some great shows. I have I'm self-taught history background, which I absolutely love, even though I'm in the medical profession. But I just love her shows. You can tell Deanna's very well read, and it was refreshing to know that somebody else had a pretty big library, because my wife gets upset with me sometimes because I have so many books in the house, and most of them are not medical, but yeah. I just love history. But I want to thank Deanna for all the things that she does. She brings some incredible guests, even the doctor. You had on a few days ago. That was a wonderful segment.
And just to show you how people are conditioned, when she first came on the airwaves, people are going, who is this Spagnola? Who is this woman? She doesn't have a radio voice. And I'm thinking to myself, wait a minute, she speaks English. She's got a good vocabulary. Her diction is good. What do you mean she's not a talk show host? They were referring to her voice. Evidently, they wanted something a little bit more, melodic, and, I just absolutely love her.
You know, and I got to tell you, John, she is very respectful of callers. There was a caller once who was, obviously, he was way out in left field or trying to bait her, and she handled that so well. She was so nice. She was firm, but she was so nice about it, whereas just having listened to talk radio, most people would have just exploded on the caller and just, don't ever call my show again.
I remember one time I got really upset, and this is one of the only times consciously, well, it was kind of like an unconscious moment, I guess. Some guy was getting under my skin, and he knew what he was doing, and he knew he was getting close to really pushing me over the edge. And more importantly, I knew what he was doing. And then finally, I had had enough, and out of my mouth, I called the guy an a-hole.
On the air?
On the air.
That's in the contract. We're not supposed to do that.
I know, and somebody's got to deduct out of my paycheck or something here. Somebody's got to punish me. But, it was strange. It was the strangest thing that ever happened in radio. I knew what was going on, and then I just snapped. And then the other day, last Tuesday, one of my illustrious, they never make a mistake, board operators here, we were getting threats into the network. There was this crank that was calling up, and I'll tell you, I didn't necessarily take it as a crank call, but he was threatening my wife and to slice up certain parts of her anatomy with a knife. And the board operator here, the guy kept calling in to the extension into the control room, and he was laughing about it. And I'm not thinking this is a bit funny. And he left my mic open, and I blurted out a word that wasn't intended for air. Now, to the credit of Bob Chapman and the caller from Chicago, they didn't miss a beat. But it did go out over the air. That was the only time in 20 years that I'd ever done that. Now, I've kept my stuff pretty tightly wrapped, because this is very trying times in this country, very emotional. I have a real emotional attachment to my country. And the reason I do this, I'm duty-bound and obligated to do this radio network to try to wake and educate people. I mean, this. Some people, you ask them, what's your service to the country? And they go, well, I was in the military, or I did this, or, I give the Red Cross. They think, no, this is my duty and obligation. This is my way of paying back for all of the good years that I've had in this country. Could you imagine? We could have been born in Zimbabwe or someplace.
Yes, I often tell my kids that when they think that they pull off some entitlement attitudes towards me. I'll tell them, you could have been born. Yeah, exactly. I tell them, you could have been born in some real god-awful, poor Sahara Desert country. but you said something earlier. There's a whole bunch of things I wish I could talk about. The most important thing is taking back the country, and how do we do it? I have 5 kids. My oldest is 15. My youngest is 7. I send them to the local private school, the Catholic school, and I am constantly in fights with the administration over there, and I can't stand the social studies book. Everyone knows, but I have a core of people that fortunately are letter writers too, and the teachers themselves. Here we're talking a Catholic school, and we have old teachers that are openly pro-choice and tell the students that. And then they also were pro-Obama. In fact, they did an election right before Obama was elected. And, you know, I'd say about, I think my daughter told me about 80, 85% of the kids were for McCain. And, but she was very upset that they weren't going to be voting for, had Obama stickers.
Oh.
In order for us to take back the country, our kids have, the parents, we have to know what is going on in school. I look at their social, my wife is so upset with me most of the time because I look at the social studies book and I get really upset. And yeah, I could tell you so many politically correct pictures you'll see in that book. There was a, my favorite is Daniel Boone, a picture of supposedly Daniel Boone, and with a so-called walking stick. The walking stick looks like a musket, but they're so politically correct they don't want to show a gun.
Well, what is, gosh. Well, and you know what? Your wife is probably, she gets agitated with you because it makes her it makes her uncomfortable. But I can bet my bottom dollar here, Frank, that in the bottom of her heart, she's glad that you are who you are. It took my wife a few years. I mean, because I'll talk to anybody. I mean, and she knows I will. And I'll say anything to anybody. If we're standing in a grocery line and somebody makes a comment, I'll chime in. You know, I'm not shy about that. And for a while, it used to embarrass her because she was never used to that. You know, it was kind of like the Japanese society. You know, you bow, smile nicely, and you just do your business and you go on. But I have radicalized her to the point now she engages people. Now she's in the grocery. She saw a pregnant woman and her husband the other day in a grocery store. Gave her the thing that the guy doing the program today, Mike, filmed with
Dr. Wakefield
and I'm sorry, Mary Toko, and she's on vaccines. And she said, you know, is that your first? Oh, and they were just glowing. They were just, and they were in there and they were picking out little baby things and this, that, and the other. And she said, look, before you have that child, you need to see this. Now, she was never like that. I radicalized her.
Good.
That's very good. And the thing to keep in mind is what I'm learning is, and you're right, I've become less and less reluctant to speak up. And I'm finding other people are feeling the same way. And that's how you're going to do it. You got to and plus, you got to educate the kids. I one day was on one of my rampages, and I asked the kids, "Do you ever hear of the Alamo? Do you ever hear of this? Do you ever?" And they told me no.
Yeah.
And I know they weren't teasing me.
Yeah.
But they really didn't know. They don't get it in school.
Yeah, but they'll learn about Obama, but not George Washington.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And they'll know about. They all know about Rosa Parks and the bus, and it just drives me nuts because you know. And there's when you look through their social studies books, there's these obscure names that no one ever heard of, but they're elevated to the top, and many historical figures are either relegated to the bottom or not even mentioned at all.
At all. And what their true role was in forming this country, which I'm a little prejudiced, but I'm kind of a history buff myself. Out of all cultures and societies, governments that have come and gone, I think we had the best. And notice I said had. It's still there.
Yeah.
It's just not being used. But I think we can still pull this off within our generation, and we've got to be the guiding light for these kids, because if we do not step forward and keep walking and talking, you know, we can win the minds, hearts, and minds one person at a time.
And that's how it's going to be done. And, you know, John, I will tell you there's hope because I, ever since John Moore came to the more, I only had heard his show a couple of times, but ever since he became weekly, my kids get up early. So my older daughter, the freshman in high school, she has to be out of the house at about 8 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll put John's show on, and at first she was giving me a hard time about it. And now, but John had talked about something scientifically related to batteries of all things. And my daughter's taking physics, and she paid attention to her his two guests talk about batteries and electrolysis and this and that.
I'll be darned.
And she was as quiet as, and this is a girl that has a lot to say.
Well, good. Well, I'll tell you what. Kiss your wife for me, pat her on the head, and say, honey, I know you want to be more like me. In time, you will be.
Thank you, John. I don't want to keep you. I know you got other guests.
Okay. Thank you, Frank. Appreciate it. Mark in Florida. Hello, Mark.
John in Deanna, I would like to say that one of your callers who I really appreciate hearing from is Lark. And the reason, let me say why. When we were growing up, Lark, let me say, when I ran a car dealership, Lark worked with me. And let me say, for a little bit of insight into Lark's character, when we were growing up on the playground, he was always teased. Back in those days, the kids used to call him a communitarian and an obscurantist. And that is why his insights are so powerful today, because he has overcome a lot of that.
Huh. And you're down in Florida. Lark's in Texas. How did that split happen? How did you end up in Florida, or did he end up here in Texas?
Well, we had a little bit of a parting of the ways. I don't know. He's my younger brother.
Ah, okay.
Oh.
When you mix blood with business, sometime that happened.
And he's really overcome a lot of... He used to work with me at my car dealership. And in those days, he was at that time, and that's why I say his insights are so powerful today. He was at that time not only a communitarian, but he was an obscurantist as well.
Huh.
And so that's why his insight, because he comes from that, you see. And today,
so that's why he knows about it.
Exactly.
Yes.
I mean, when we were kids on the playground, and you see, our parents had sort of a sense of humor. They named me Mark, and then they named him Lark, and he always used to get teased about it. And the kids, they would call him, and it was really hurtful toward him. The kids would call him, number one, a communitarian, and then they also called him an obscurantist. And he, to this day, it bothers him, and that's why he's so outspoken.
Well, Mark, I hate to one-up you here, but my parents had a better sense of humor than your parents did. The first one, a girl, was named Gay. The second one was named Joy. And they were going to name me Happy when I was a kid, but thank God I had the croup and earaches, and I cried a lot, so they named me after the old man. But I could have very easily been Happy Statmiller, which totally goes against my rude dude disposition.
Persona.
Yeah, there you go. I mean, come on, Happy Stat, I would have never have lived that down.
No.
And I can say when Lark worked with me at my car dealership, at that time he really was a twit. He was an idiot.
he's listening to this right now. You know that, right?
And I had to fire him because every time customers would come onto the lot, he'd start lecturing them about communitarianism and calling. When people wouldn't buy a car from him, he'd accuse them of being obscurantists, that sort of thing.
Now, are you talking with Lark? Have you resolved your differences?
Well, we don't get along very well. I get to this day, there were so many. I would like to get back together with him again.
Then call him up right after the program and tell him that you're sorry if you've ever offended him.
Mark, let me ask you something.
And just get it over with.
How did you start listening to this network?
Well, actually, I had a conversation with Lark a few months ago, and he informed me that he had been speaking on your network, and that was how I became aware of it and began to listen.
Well, I'll be darned.
Amazing.
It is. Now that's one for the books. That's one I have not heard. Hey, well, look, I appreciate you calling in, Mark. We're running out of time here. I wished you would have called in a little bit earlier. Maybe we could have got Lark on the air. But at any rate, thanks for your call, Mark. I appreciate it very much.
Thank you.
Bye.
Don in Reno. We've got to get to these last callers here. Hello, Don.
Well, actually, John, I took a little side trip. I'm over here in Honolulu.
Okay. And that was a hell of a left turn you made out of Nevada there.
true. Yeah. Well, you know, I'm kind of stranded on Waikiki here for a few days, so I've been talking to some of the locals.
Mm-hmm.
And apparently Obama has given some kind of a $1 billion grant. And it was I'm told it was in the newspaper, $1 billion grant to some individual or some group of individuals to start buying up the foreclosed houses over here.
Well, he's got to do something when he's thrown out of the White House in 2012. He's going to be a slum landlord over there now.
So the Islanders aren't really happy with what he supposedly has done for them. I mean, I've talked to an architect, you know, a guy from the Big Island that's lived here all his life, and I talked to another man that says there's an individual at the University of Hawaii that's going back looking through old records where the original queen never gave the treaty permission for the country of Hawaii to become part of the United States. And they're going through some old records right now to try to repatriate this country as Hawaii, as a country.
Good.
And another issue is Castle and Cook, a big investment company, through an agreement, has got the authority, has obtained the authority for windmill power on the islands. And once through this agreement, they got the authority. Now they've sold half of this authority to the engineering firm that's actually doing the work.
Welcome to fascism, my friend. Man.
Unbelievable.
It is.
Here's the last thing, and then I'll go.
Okay.
Apparently, this same man has gone down to Home Depot, and he's seeing zillions of Chinese coming in here with big rolls of American dollars buying into Hawaii.
Gee, I wonder where they got that money from.
Big fistfuls of dollars.
Oh. Well, there's your EB-5 program. Check into that one. Start telling the people down there about that one. That's the reason why they're there.
These are just some bits and pieces I picked up on the ground over here.
You know, at first
I thought it was going to be boring over here, but you know, these islanders are refreshing. We think we're on our own as these white backwoods patriots. They're the same over here on the ground. These Hawaiians are upset.
Well, and I can tell you one thing:
they're upset.
If they mistook you for a tourist, what a sad mistake that was. Usually they tell everybody, well, you can always spot the tourist and what they do and how they act and what they wear. You're not the typical tourist. Hey, got to let you go.
Okay, bye.
All right, thanks. Appreciate your call. Dennis in Pennsylvania, 30 seconds.
I'd like to agree with Deanna. Conspiracy theory is the wrong name. I saw Jesse on Piers Morgan claiming he was an atheist, the people that believe in God, believe in the Easter Bunny. He said his show is entertainment. I don't want an atheist as president or vice president. He's dangerous for this country. I just wanted to say that, John.
All right. I appreciate your call. Thank you, Dennis. And by the way, a caller called in today. The FDIC, check their website out. 5 banks failed in America today, with more to come. Deanna Spagnola, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
I appreciate this so much. I mean, I just have so much fun when you and I do this. All right.
Yes, I like it too.
All right. That'll do it for us today, folks. Thanks for being here. See you back here next Monday.
Gold ever climbing as the dollar continues to spiral into a